I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign or miracle, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. For the Jews require a sign. That statement of fact is intricately important to the subject matter that we've been preaching on for several months and are continuing to do for the next few weeks. The Jews require a sign. When God introduced the Mosaic Covenant to the children of Israel, he did so with manifold signs and miracles. From the time of the enslavement in Egypt and the plagues miraculously wrought upon the nation of Egypt, leading up to the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, the miraculous parting of the Red Sea, and then the 40-year wandering in the wilderness, God miraculously feeding them with manna from heaven, miraculously giving them water in a desert without water, etc., etc. God introduced the Mosaic Covenant to the children of Israel with manifold signs and miracles. Ever since then, the Jewish people required great signs from their Messiah. Moses predicted to the children of Israel that when Messiah came, he would be a miracle worker, as he was. The Jews, therefore, looked forward to a miracle-working Messiah. The Jews required a sign. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. When you hear that word sign, that means miracle. Desiring him that he would show them a miracle from heaven. Mark 8:11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a miracle from heaven, tempting him. Luke 11:16. And others, tempting him, sought of him a miracle from heaven. Show us a miracle. Show us a miracle. Show us a miracle. The Jews require a miracle. Jesus fulfilled the requirement of signs and miracles in the greatest way possible, including his resurrection from the dead. John 20:30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In the last verse of the Gospel of John, John says, and there were also many other things which Jesus did, miracles, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. No one ever performed more miracles than Jesus. No one performed greater miracles than Jesus. His entire public ministry was one miracle after the other, after the other, after the other. I want you to turn to this passage, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 38. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign, a miracle from thee. Again and again, demanding a miracle. No matter what miracle Jesus performed, it was never enough. The Pharisees and scribes would come to him and say, show us another miracle. Show us another miracle. Show us another miracle. No matter how many miracles he performed, show us another one. Show us another one. Show us another one. In this particular passage, Jesus rebukes these men in the sternest terms. And I want you to notice Jesus' response. He answered and said unto them, verse 39. Please see this, underline this. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Underline that. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after miracles. That came from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. Do you believe Jesus or not? An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after miracles. That is true today as much as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus said it. Evil and adulterous people seek after miracles. But there are tens of thousands, yea, millions of professing Christians seeking miracles all of the time. Jesus said they are an evil and adulterous generation. There shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. He didn't mean by that he would not perform any other miracles until his crucifixion, because he did. What he was saying was, all of the miracles I have already performed, you have disbelieved. And the miracles that I will perform tomorrow and the day after that, you will likewise disbelieve. You have one sign, you have one chance left. One miracle is yet to come, that which, if you would repent, would save your souls. And that is, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Speaking of his death on the cross, his burial, and then his resurrection from the dead. He said, the men of Nineveh shall arise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Think about it. The Ninevites, the capital city of the Assyrians, the conquerors of Israel. Jonah did not even want to go preach to the Ninevites. He hated them because of the atrocities that they had inflicted upon his city, upon his family, his friends. He may have lost loved ones in the destruction brought about by the Assyrian armies. And now God had called him to go to the capital city of the Syrian people and preach to them that God was going to judge them for their wickedness. And he didn't want to go. And you know the story. That's when he got on that boat and went in the opposite direction from where Nineveh is located. He was going the opposite way. And that's when God sent that great fish. And then he took him back to Nineveh. Yeah. You can imagine what he looked like when he got out of that belly of that fish. The gastric juices were already working on his body. He had been drowned and he was dead in that body. Oh yeah, he was dead. Just as Jesus was dead in the grave. Jonah's was dead in that fish. And God brought him back to life, and then the fish belched him up on the beach. And you can imagine this man walking into the city of Nineveh, telling everybody that God was going to destroy them. And the whole city repented. From the king down to the lowest caste individual. They all repented and turned to Jehovah God. And then Jonah, the one who brought the greatest revival in the history of the world, was mad because God saved all the people in Nineveh. He didn't want to see them saved. He was bitter toward them because of what they had done. He preached the message, and then when all those folks got saved, he said to the Lord, "See, that's what I knew you were going to do. I knew you were going to save these people. That's why I ran." But he said, "The children of Nineveh, the people of Nineveh, are going to stand in judgment against you, Jews, who have rejected your Messiah, who is far greater than Jonah." They had the sense to repent at the preaching of Jonah. Jonah performed no miracles. Jonah was not even one of their brethren. He was a stranger. Jesus was their brother. Jesus came performing more miracles than anyone could ever dream of. And yet they rejected him as their Messiah. Verse 42, "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." This woman traveled many, many miles so that she could see Solomon and hear his wisdom and learn from him God's truth. And here you are, I'm among you, I live among you. You don't have to travel anywhere. I'm right here. And you still refuse to hear the truth spoken from your Messiah. The people of Nineveh will condemn you in the day of judgment. The queen of the south, or the queen of Egypt, she shall judge you in that day. When God introduced the new covenant, he wrought signs and miracles through the apostles. Signs and miracles through Christ, including the resurrection from the dead. Miracles that the Jews rejected. And then, as the church was introduced under the new covenant, signs and miracles were wrought at the hands of the apostles. Started in Acts 2 with the supernatural gift of languages, where The apostles spake the word of God in their language. But people who spoke other languages heard the gospel in their own language. That is the Bible gift of languages. This unknown gibberish that is going on in these churches today, that is not the tongues of the New Testament. It is a false gift. It's nothing to do with the gift of languages as given in the New Testament. I wrote a booklet, Why I Do Not Speak in Tongues. It's on the table over here, though I have to order it specifically. We don't have it on the store, at least not yet. But I explained all of that. Miracles were wrought by Peter and Paul throughout the book of Acts. When you read the chronological events in the book of Acts, you read of the miracles that were performed over and over by the apostles, especially Simon Peter and the apostle Paul. Let me ask you, did the Jews accept these signs and receive God's messengers? Two people. Let me ask it again. Did the Jews accept these signs and receive God's messengers?
No.
No, they did not. They didn't receive the Messiah as he performed miracle after miracle. They did not receive him when he rose from the dead. They did not receive the apostles when they wrought miracles upon the people again and again and again. What does Paul say to the pastor now? Go to Titus chapter 1. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 9. Again, Paul is addressing this to pastors. Specifically to Pastor Titus. Verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. What does that mean? They of the circumcision. Who's he talking about? Jews. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. I'm only going to refer to one commentary from my favorite old scholars from yesteryear, and this is that one on verse 10, John Gill. Especially they of the circumcision, or of the Jews. That is, listen carefully, not the unbelieving Jews. Not the unbelieving Jews. But such as professed Christianity, Judaizing Christians, who joined Moses and Christ, and blended the law and the gospel together, who taught that circumcision and the observance of other ceremonies of the law were necessary to justification and salvation, and hereby did a great deal of mischief among the churches. They were the Judaizing Christians who sought to combine the old covenant with the new covenant, which cannot be done. The old covenant is abolished. You cannot merge the old covenant and the new covenant. They do not fit in any shape, manner, or form. But that's what they were trying to do. And these are the ones that Paul is addressing to Titus. Many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, the Judaizing Christians, who are trying to Judaize the church and mix the gospel of grace with the gospel of works, and thereby deceive the church. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped. The Judaizers, whose mouths must be stopped. How can you stop them? There's only one way, and that's through sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is the protective hedge against the error of the Judaizers and those who try to mix grace and works, who try to mix the first covenant with the new covenant, those who try to mix the gospel of Christ with the law of Moses. Sound doctrine is the only barrier we have, the only protection we have against this error. Unfortunately, the vast majority of our churches today are not teaching sound doctrine. They have mixed law and grace, Christ and Moses. They have become a Judaized institution. Paul said their mouths must be stopped. They are teaching heresy. They are damning the souls of their hearers. Notice what he says in 11. Who subvert whole houses, entire families are damned to hell because of these false teachers, these Judaizers, teaching things which they ought not, notice, for filthy lucre's sake. The real motivation of these teachers is not truth and helping people. The real motivation is gaining money for themselves. That's their motivation. That's why they tickle ears. That's why they go with the flow. That's why they teach what people want to hear. That's why they try to make everybody feel good. Because they want personal remuneration and benefit from that pretense. Whose mouths must be stopped by sound doctrine. That's the only way you can stop it. That's why it's so important that people who know the truth, people that know sound doctrine, need to get out of these phony, charlatan-led churches and get into a church where a pastor preaches sound doctrine. As long as you are part of that false doctrine, as long as you are part of that Judaistic church, that mixing of law and grace, that mixing of Christ and Moses, as long as you are part of that, you are aiding and abetting false doctrine. You are aiding and abetting that which is sending people to a devil's hell. You are part of that problem. It's not just the pastor. It's every single person that follows him, that supports him, that gives to him, that attends with him, that admonishes him and works with him. You are part of a false system that is damning the souls of people. The lack of sound doctrine. Rebuke them sharply. Verse 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Rebuke them sharply. These Judaistic evangelicals who are bringing the law of Moses into the church, who are bringing in the ordinances and the feast days and the festivals and the new moons into the church, who are trying to make Moses and the law part of the New Testament worship experience. Rebuke them sharply. Don't play games with them. Don't worry about being Mr. Nice Guy with them. Rebuke them sharply, Paul said to Titus. They are charlatans. They are promoters of false gospel. Rebuke them sharply. As soon as you hear a so-called preacher, I don't care what's on television, radio, or if you're sitting in the congregation, as soon as you hear a preacher begin to mix Old Testament law with New Testament grace, you need to get out of there now. Now. As soon as you hear them trying to reintroduce Judaistic laws under Moses into the New Testament church, you need to get out of there post haste. You are in a false religion. Rebuke them sharply. Look at verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. What do Jewish fables accomplish? They turn people from the truth. Judaic religion is filled with mysticism, superstitions, miracles, signs, and wonders. The Jews require a sign. Modern Judaism, if you've read Michael Hoffman's excellent book that we carry on the table, it's on the store, Judaism, Strange Gods, you know what I'm about to tell you. He documents all of this. Kabbalism and Shabbatism are filled with mystic teaching, superstition, so-called signs and wonders. The president's son-in-law is a Jewish Kabbalist and Shabbatist who is into the deep, dark superstitions and mysticism of Judaism as much as any human being alive today. Ivanka married into that family, and she now is a Kabbalist and a Shabbatist. Donald Trump is proud of the honor that he has received from the Kabbals and the Shabbats. He has publicly used the office of the President of the United States to honor the Shabbat, to honor Kabbalism. He has plaques on his wall from Kabbalists. And I've seen him in interviews where he points to the plaques that the Kabbalists have given him, and he brags about the Kabbals and the Shabbatists. and how much it means to him. He signed public declarations on behalf of the American people, acknowledging Kabbalism and Shabbatism as a standard for living for all of the American people. Donald Trump is a full-fledged, 100% puppet of the Kabbalists and the Shabbatists. And again, their focus is miracles, signs. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We begin reading in verse 7. Listen to Paul. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, the word letteth is an old English word, means hinder. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And then shall that wicked, capital W, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Underline verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Do you see that? Miracles. The Apostle Paul is predicting a miracle working act of evil. Filled with the power of Satan, who will deceive the masses with signs, miracles, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. If you reject sound doctrine, folks, if you reject sound doctrine, if you reject the truth of sound doctrine, you have been set up to receive a strong delusion. You are ripe for delusion when you reject sound doctrine. God shall send them strong delusion for this cause. God shall send them, who? The ones that rejected the truth. Strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now you need to stay focused. When the Apostle Paul, when the Apostle John died, and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, and that message is just ahead. When the Apostle John died and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, which, by the way, that was a miracle. The destruction of Jerusalem was a dramatic miracle. You'll understand that when we preach on the subject. When the Apostle John died and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, listen, God's message and ministry to the children of Israel was finished. once and forever finished. No more signs. No more miracles. No more wonders. The children of Israel were given miracles from the time before they came out of Egypt. God gave them miracle after they came out of Egypt. Under Moses and Joshua, he performed miracle after miracle after miracle. With the prophets of old, he wrought miracle after miracle after miracle for the Jewish people. They require a sign, and they got them. They rejected those signs and those miracles of old. Then God sent his only begotten Son as the Savior of the world and the Messiah of Israel. And the Messiah showed them miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and they rejected. Show us another one. Show us another one. Show us another one. He rose from the dead, and they rejected. He gave the apostles the power to perform all sorts of healings and miracles among the Jewish people. And again, they were rejected. And the last apostle, the Apostle John, died in the city of Jerusalem, in the temple. And the Jews' religion and the Pharisees, along with its history and everything about it, was totally and thoroughly destroyed. There would be no more miracles for Israel to see. Done! They had watched their last miracle. By the way, the last miracle was the destruction of Jerusalem. You would think that if nothing else would have brought them to repentance, watching the city of Jerusalem be destroyed in the manner that it was would surely bring them to repentance. It did not! And God's message and ministry to the children of Israel was finished. And that means God's signs and miracles to the Jews were finished. He would show them no more miracles. The signs and wonders to come, according to Paul in our text in 2 Thessalonians, the signs and wonders that would come would be from the devil and his ambassadors, Antichrist. Those were the miracles coming. God's miracles to the Jews have ended. But Paul said the devil would have his miracle workers coming to deceive those who have rejected truth. And those signs and wonders are being performed throughout the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ in America and around the world today, by false preachers with false miracles and a false doctrine, sending people to hell through their signs and through their miracles. Let me say it very clearly and plainly. Remember this if you remember nothing. Anyone. anyone who claims to have the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, the gift of languages, is a false prophet. Anyone who claims to have the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, the gift of languages, is a false prophet. Don't come up to me and tell me how nice these people are. Oh, I watch these people on television all the time, and they're just so good, and they say so many good things. They are false prophets. They are mixing law and grace. They are mixing the old covenant and the new covenant. They are pretending to be apostles and prophets to deceive people through their miracles. The Jews require a sign. God is not giving miracles to Gentiles. He never did. He gave miracles to the Jews because the Jews require a sign ever since Moses was sent by God to deliver the children of Israel from the land of Egyptian bondage. Now you listen to this very carefully. It is no coincidence that the introduction of signs and miracles in the church started en masse with the healing crusades of Oral Roberts in 1948. Does that year sound familiar? 1948 was the year that Zionist Israel came into existence. Oral Roberts is the granddaddy of the healing miracle movement in the world. He launched his miracle crusades the same year that Zionist Israel came into existence. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not a coincidence. It is not a coincidence. As the devil created that Zionist false state of Israel, so he created a religious movement based upon Jewish signs and miracles and wonders. And ever since 1948, these so-called miracle-working evangelists have dominated the television and radio airwaves of America. Just about every radio preacher, just about every television preacher is a faith healer of some sort, a tongue speaker of some sort, someone who claims to have the gift of prophecy. We're hearing more and more people claiming to have the gift of prophecy. I hear them everywhere. God appeared to me and told me this. God appeared to me and told me this. You, sir, are a liar and a false prophet. God has not appeared unto you. Show you something else that's not a coincidence, just to help augment what I'm trying to show you. Miriam Adelson is the wife of Sheldon Adelson. Sheldon Adelson is a multi-billionaire, a Zionist, Shabbatist, Kabbalist, who gives millions of dollars to both political parties, but mostly the Republican Party. who gave tens of millions of dollars to Donald Trump in 2016, and again he will in 2020, who has given millions of dollars to Zionist toadies in the Congress like Marco Rubio. His entire mission in the world is to strengthen, build, and expand the power of Zionism and the Zionist state of Israel. They own the largest newspaper in Israel called the Israel Hayom, which simply means Israel Today. It is like USA Today in Israel, except it's disseminated free every day to the people of Israel. Miriam Ann Adelson is the publisher of that newspaper. She wrote a column in June of this year, June 27. The title of her column, A Time of Miracles. A Time of Miracles. Wow. Jews require a miracle. A Time of Miracles. I won't read the whole column. I'll just read the two ending paragraphs. Would it, quoting Miriam Adelson, would it be too much to pray for a day when the Bible gets a book of Trump, much like it has a book of Esther, celebrating the deliverance of the Jews from ancient Persia? Miriam Adelson is at the tip of the spear in trying to get a new book of Trump added to the Bible. Last paragraph. Until that is decided, let us at least sit back and marvel at this time of miracles for Israel, for the United States, and for the whole world. Close quote. To Miriam Adelson and the other Kabbalists, Shabbatists, Zionists, Donald Trump is a miracle. How many times have I heard my fellow evangelical brothers and sisters say Donald Trump is a miracle? It was a miracle that Donald Trump got elected. It's a miracle that Donald Trump has been able to do what he's done. Donald Trump has done this miracle, and this is a miracle, and that's a miracle. I mean, you cannot listen to these people describe President Trump without somewhere in the conversation referring to him as a miracle. He is a new King Cyrus. It's a miracle. He is a John the Baptist. It's a miracle. He brought the capital to Jerusalem. It's a miracle. Miracle, 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 miracle. The Jews require a miracle. The creation of the State of Israel in 1948, the advent of Oral Roberts' healing crusades, 1948, and the escalation and multiplication of that Now it's not just one man. Now it's hundreds and hundreds of men and women carrying on this false mantle of Oral Roberts, going around healing people. This was Satan's way of imitating the miracles of God that introduced the old and the new covenants. This is the devil's way of introducing to the world his dominion, his world, his kingdom, his doctrine. The devil is God's great imitator. Everything God does, the devil imitates. And now he's imitating the miracles that God gave to Israel in both the Old and the New Covenants. And now that those miracles have ceased and God has stopped talking to Israel, the devil has created his own generation of miracles as a deception. God's miracles were intended to convince the people. Satan's miracles are intended to deceive the people. You don't believe that? I'm going to read three verses from Matthew chapter 7. Turn there if you want. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. You got to listen carefully. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. All right, look at what they're saying. Have we not prophesied in thy name? We have the gift of prophecy. We have the gift of prophecy. We prophesying in your name. And in thy name have we cast out devils. You hear a lot of these faith leader types talking about casting out demons. They have entire services dedicated to casting out demons. Have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful miracles. Healed people. Spake in tongues. Do you see the people Jesus is talking about? Jesus is talking about a specific group of people. He's talking about these false miracle workers, these false prophets, these false messengers come from Satan who claim to have the same kind of apostolic miracle working power that God gave to the apostles. And they are deceivers, false prophets. Have we not done all these miraculous things? In your name, Lord. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You notice he's not talking about preachers who preach sound doctrine here. He's talking about preachers that are filled with these gifts of the Spirit, so-called, these miracle gifts. He targets them and says, I never knew you. I'm almost done. The Apostle Paul understood that signs and miracles, prophecies, etc., were temporary, and that they would pass away after they were no longer necessary to convince the Jews. The only reason that signs and miracles ever began was to convince the Jews. The entire history of miracles was a Jewish history, trying to convince the Jews of the prophets, and then of Christ himself, and then the apostles. Those signs and miracles were all rejected. John died, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, and all the miracles and messages that God was going to give through those miracles to the people of Israel stopped forever. And the Apostle Paul understood this. He was one of the apostles gifted with the ability to perform miracles by God. But he understood they were temporary. You remember in his letter to Timothy, when Timothy was ill with some kind of a stomach condition? What did Paul say to him in his letter? Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for thy oft infirmities. Red wine especially has a certain amount of healing quality in it in limited doses. And of course now we have medicine which is able to give man the kind of healing that we didn't have before the advent of some of these marvelous medicines that are available to us today. What was Paul saying to Timothy? Take your medicine. Take your medicine, Timothy. Question, why didn't Paul send him a prayer cloth that could heal him? Why didn't Paul tell him to go to brother so-and-so who had the gift of healing and get healed from his calamities? Why didn't he stress the importance? The reason you're sick, Timothy, is you don't have enough faith. That's why you're sick. That's where these con men tell these poor people. The reason you're sick is because you don't have enough faith to believe. You con man, lying sucker. Taking advantage of these poor people that are coming to you for help, and you're saying they don't have enough faith. You're a fraud. Hey, look, if you're really a healer, get out from the Colosseums where people are paying you multiple millions of dollars for you to perform your healing antics, and go to the hospitals. Go to the hospitals. Go to these institutions around here where people are crippled and people are sick. People are sick mentally. People are sick emotionally. People have all kinds of ailments, all kinds of physical problems. Why don't you go to the hospital and clean them out? You're a phony and you know it. The Apostle Paul understood that signs, miracles, prophecies, etc. were temporary and would pass away after they were no longer necessary to convince the Jews. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read three verses. Verse 8, 9, and 10. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Cease. Prophecies will cease. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, divine revelation. Oh, God appeared to me and told me, oh, Lord, oh, yes, God spoke to me. God just spoke to me the other day. God spoke to me. God spoke to me. God spoke to me. How many times do we hear these charlatans? God spoke to me. God spoke to me. Divine revelation. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Your prophecies are going to cease. Your miracles are going to cease. Your tongues, your healings, your divine revelation shall vanish away. Verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, Paul could say that because he had divine revelation and penned part of the New Testament. He was given prophecy by God. And he said, our prophecy is only in part. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The miracles were in part. The tongues were in part. The healings were in part. Casting out demons in part. All that was just partial. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Okay, well, what is the perfect that came? Right here. The perfect word of the living God. When John the Apostle penned the last amen to the book of Revelation, divine revelation ceased, the gift of miracles ceased, that which is perfect is come, has come, and that which was in part has been done away. Now this doesn't mean that God does not perform miracles today, because he certainly does. I have seen God perform amazing miracles in my life. My father's deliverance from alcohol addiction is nothing short of a divine miracle. So God does perform miracles today without a doubt. He often brings miracles of healing and deliverance and many other types of miracles in answer to prayer and according to his sovereign will. The truth is, if we knew the truth, God probably performs numerous miracles for us every day by protecting us from Satan's attempts to destroy us that we don't even know about. Plus, the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of our salvation. When a soul that was dead in trespasses and sin is made alive in Jesus Christ. That is the greatest miracle of all. What I am saying and what the scripture teaches is that the gifts of miracles given to the prophets and apostles are not given to men since the Apostle John penned the conclusion to the perfect, completed, miraculous Word of God. Listen to the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 16 and following. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there was such a voice to him from the excellent glory that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice came from heaven and we heard and we were with him in the Holy Mount. We saw it. We were there. We heard it. We saw it. Look what he says next. Verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. What's the more sure word of prophecy? The Bible. Amen. The Word of God. The Word of God is more sure than Peter's eyewitness to the event. A more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. I'm losing my voice. Lord, give me just a few more minutes. No prophecy of the Scripture. Verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Scripture, Simon Peter, another miracle worker, during the apostolic age, convincing the Jews. Simon Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Bible. We have the scripture, which outshines all of the miracles that man has ever performed. And as the Old Testament scripture was by divine revelation, so the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul. All scripture, listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What sets apart the man of God? What gives him his credentials? What gives him his power? What gives him his authority? These televangelists, phony faith healers would tell you that it's the miracles they can perform that gives them their authority. No. Paul didn't say anything about that. He didn't say, your healing, your gifts of healing, your gifts of tongues, your gift of miracles. No. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The man of God is perfect, truly furnished unto every good work through the word of God. That's it. Let me tell you something. God has given you all of the signs and prophecies he's going to give you. The divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. That is God's miracle to you. Now think of this. Think of this. I hope you were with me and could put all this together. The obsession with signs and miracles by professing Christians today is wholly and completely Judaic. It is Judaic. It is as if they were the Old Testament children of Israel demanding a miracle from the prophets. It's as if they were the generation of Jesus' day demanding more miracles of the Savior. It's as if they were the Jews of Jerusalem when Peter and Paul and the others preached demanding miracles. I'm telling you, the obsession with signs and miracles by professing Christians is Judaic. Jews require a sign. It's Judaic. It started in the year that the state of Israel came into existence. And the more the church has Judaized itself over the decades, worshiping Israel, promoting Israel, going to war for Israel, devoting themselves to the state of Israel above the United States, even. The more they've done that, the more the influence of Judaic apostasy covers the church. And so now today, we have congregations all over America by the tens of thousands that every Sunday are seeking a sign, seeking miracles. They don't even realize it, perhaps, but they are Judaic. They are Kabbalists. They are Chabadists. They are Zionists. who have rejected the new covenant of the grace of God and have placed themselves back under a covenant of works of which God has already destroyed. The obsession of signs and miracles by professing Christians today is Judaic and is apostasy from the finished work of Christ on the cross and the completion of the perfect Word of God. Yes. The Jews require a sign. But the church, the true church, requires only the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.